Genesis 37, let's look in verse 23. I'm going to cut all the fat this morning. I could preach 3 hours on the life of Joseph without ever getting to my text today. At least 3 hours on just his life without ever even making one spiritual or scriptural application. This is my favorite Old Testament character. And there are hundreds, maybe even more than hundreds, of messages that I have preached from his life, and I've never preached what I'm going to preach here this morning. And so we can add this to the list. Genesis 37, verse number 23. The word of the Lord says, "And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it." It was not a pond. It was a pit. "And I believe that they intended for it to be a grave, Brother Bob." That's what I think they intended for it to be. "And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes." Now, what I think's going on here, if you read in the previous verse, it talked about killing him, and then they threw him in a pit. Now they sit down to eat. I think they're deciding, what are we going to do with him? They're eating lunch while they're deciding whether how we're going to kill him, how we're going to get shut of him, what are we going to do with Joseph, because we've had enough of him. "And the Bible said, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh and going to carry it down to Egypt." Now, I may not come back to this, and I may, but I want to mention camels are always in the Bible a type of grace. And it seems like when they're contemplating how do we kill Joseph, while they're eating and discussing their murderous plan, grace comes riding across the desert before their eyes. I seem to remember last Sunday, while the wickedness of man was before the Lord continually, and God repented that he ever knew man, that there was a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this morning, as we studied how God's plan was brought about in his life, so also we see Joseph here just about to meet an untimely end. And you would think that Ishmaelites, Midianites, the enemies of God, headed to Egypt, who would enslave this man Joseph. You would think, my soul, this is not grace. This is the worst thing that could ever happen to him. But I'm going to tell you, we'll find in the life of Joseph, it was the grace of God bringing about the plan of God. And Judah, verse 26, "And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood?" You see what their plan was? But it changes when grace shows up. "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. And then there passed by Midianite merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit." By the way, that's what grace will do. It'll bring you out of the pit. "And sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver." I seem to remember another man sold for silver involved in grace and his brethren not treating him right. I think the price then was 30 pieces of silver. "And they sold Joseph for 30 pieces or 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt." You can be seated today. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. I like verse 29, so I'll just read it. "And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes." And I'm thankful that, my friend, though we'll not preach about the typology of Christ through all of this lesson here or this message this morning, it's impossible to see the life of Joseph without seeing Christ. I'm so thankful that Jesus is not in the pit. He's not in the grave, but he was brought up out of that old grave, and I'm grateful for that. We see in the life of Joseph these wonderful images and pictures of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We see all the times how that the Lord had seen fit to come along in the life of Joseph and do things for him and to show him as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was hated of his brethren. He was favored by his father. He was sold into slavery. He was denied of his own. He came to his own, and his own received him not. in this chapter of the word of the Lord. He comes to his brethren in Genesis 37. And this is, when he comes to them, this is the turning point of great danger that happened in the life of Joseph. I mean, he was always his father's favorite. He was his mother's delight. And he was his brethren's envy. They hated him, chapter 37 of Genesis. And if you want to hold your Bibles open, because we're going to use a lot of scripture in these companion passages this morning. But in chapter 37 of Genesis and verse 4 tells us that they hated him and they could not speak peaceably unto him. They hated him for his conduct. They hated him for his coat, and they hated him for his closeness to his father. And they could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph had not done anything to cause them to hate him like this, but they hated him because of his relationship to his father. He was his father's delight. He had always had everything just right in his life, but their jealousy and their envy brought great havoc in the life of Joseph. I mean, friend, they got angry at him and they sought to kill him. And when they did, things would never be the same for Joseph again. Matter of fact, it'd be real easy to look at Joseph's life and say what happened to him right here was not fair. What happened to Joseph in this passage of Scripture and in his life just was not fair. There's no way to justify such treatment. He had not done anything to deserve this. All he had done was to follow the instruction of his father. He went out to the field where they were because his daddy told him to do it. And when he came out that way, they said, "Behold, the dreamer cometh." And they rose up against him and they sought to kill him. And they, my friend, hated him. They mistreated him because of his relationship with his father. He had sought after God's blessings in his life and his will for his life. He had not mistreated his brethren. He was treated by them with disdain and with contempt. It was completely unfair what they did to Joseph. I'm going to skip much of the account of Joseph's life, making the assumption that you understand some of what's going on here, and I want to make direct application to something this morning in cutting the fat and encourage you to go home and study more about the life of Joseph and preach to you this morning on this simple thing: what to do when life seems unfair. What to do when life seems unfair. What they did to Joseph seems completely unfair. He did not deserve this. Their works were not justified. There was no call for them to behave this way towards him. And not only towards someone. Nobody deserves to be treated like Joseph was treated. But your own brother to be treated this way. Your own flesh and blood. Your own kinfolk. Last night, Brother Jeff was talking with me. And of course, he's got a big family. He was talking about brothers and sisters and that he was the baby and all the crowd that was around and the big family and such. I'm going to tell you, you got a big family like that. There's two things you don't do. Number one, you don't pick on any of them. Amen? Because all of them will end up on you. Number two, you don't referee and defend one of them when they're picking on each other. Amen? I mean, if you don't get involved with a big crowd like that, when they go to picking on one another, you just stay out of the way. They'll sort it out themselves. In this case, it seems like somebody would have stood up for Joseph. That somebody would have defended him. It would have been fair for one of them to have defended him. It seems like it's possible that Reuben might have had it upon his mind, if not to defend him, at least to lighten the load, not to make it worse than what it was. My friend, but somehow or another, they just couldn't stand it. They could not speak peaceably unto him, and they treated him unfairly. And not only did they strip his favorite coat off of him, they threw him in a pit. They intended for that pit to be a grave. When they did not make it a grave, they sold him into slavery. How when he was sold into slavery, those Midianites, those Ishmaelites, had sold him off unto Potiphar, an Egyptian, down in Egypt. He was not treated fairly in Potiphar's house. My friend, in Potiphar's house, he was accused of a crime he did not commit. Potiphar's wife accused him of assault. And yet, my friend, he did not do anything. He did not mar his character. He left his coat behind, just as he left his coat behind in the pit. He left his coat behind at Potiphar's house. And he was mistreated in prison for a crime he did not commit. In the prison house, he was not treated fairly. He, my friend, interpreted dreams for the butler and for the baker. And he told them, when you are restored, when that butler is restored, he said, remember me. And in 3 days, the butler was restored, but he forgot about Joseph. He was not treated fairly in the prison house. But the time came that the dreams of the butler and baker and of Pharaoh had come to pass. And then, my friend, the butler remembered Joseph, and he called for Joseph. And again, Joseph left his coat behind, and he changed his clothes and shaved his face and combed his hair and met before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh saw the wisdom of God in Joseph. And Joseph told him about the dream of the 7 lean years and the 7 great years. How there would be 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of famine. How they needed to put up 20% a year in the storehouse, so they would have plenty during the years of famine. And Pharaoh said, I see the wisdom of God in Joseph. And he promoted Joseph to be prime minister in Egypt. Joseph's title very well could have been governor of the groceries. He was, my friend, he was the crown prince of the corn down in the land of Egypt. And when the whole land went into famine, there was no famine where Joseph was, because the governor of the groceries had food for all that would come. And his brothers come back to Egypt trying to find food. They don't know Joseph is alive. And when they get there, Joseph has a favor on them. They mistreated him, but he had favor on them. It was not fair the way Joseph had been treated his whole life. And yet God took what was not fair and used it for his promotion and for his purpose, and to preserve a posterity of the people of God alive. And it's wonderful that he did. And Joseph's life was a fulfillment of prophecy, but yet his steps and the process of his life just seems like that it was unfair. I want to show you how Joseph reacts to these things in his life that seem unfair, and to take from him a lesson on what to do when life seems unfair. First of all, let me tell you, when life seems unfair, be faithful. No matter what it seems like comes against you, no matter how unfair it seems like life is, be faithful. In chapter 39 and verses 3 and 4, the Bible said, and his master, the Bible said, and his master down in Potiphar's house, and his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over all his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And Joseph, though a slave, though a foreigner, though, my friend, no rights at all as a slave in a foreign land, and Joseph was so faithful that Potiphar trusted him with all that he had. In verses 7 through 12 of chapter 39, even when he got thrown into prison, while he was there, the Bible said, he was faithful, my friend, concerning Potiphar's wife. He would not participate in her adultery. And then, whenever she caught him and accused him, it was not so. But even then, whenever they threw him into the prison house, the Lord was with Joseph. They recognized how God's presence was on his life. And at the prison house, the ruler of the guards put Joseph in as a trustee. He's, my friend, the least powerful person in the whole country. And every time he turns around, people say about him, one thing
thing about Joseph. He's trustworthy. He's dependable. He's faithful. You can count on him. And Joseph was the same man in his father's house as what in Papa's house as he was in the pit. And the pit is what he was in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's house is what he was in the prison. And the prison house is what he was in Pharaoh's house. And Joseph was faithful all the way through. Just because life had treated him unfairly, and Joseph did not behave differently. Do not allow what has happened in your life to change who you are. His circumstances were not excuses to do the wrong thing. I'm going to say that phrase again. His circumstances were not excuses to do the wrong thing. Oh, my friend, hey, he maintained his integrity. He displayed his character. My friend, in Potiphar's house, in his finances, in his labors, with Potiphar's wife, this faithful character did not even the score. He didn't look to get back at his brothers, nor did he look to get back at somebody else because of what his brothers had done to him. It did not make life more fair. Him doing the right thing didn't mean everything became fair in his life. As a matter of fact, when he did the right thing in Potiphar's house, it got worse. He was mistreated more. He became, my friend, more unfairly treated. It was not fair, but Joseph remained faithful. Oh, my friend, I cannot drive that home enough. And in your life, everything is not going to be fair. But when life is not fair, you be faithful. Circumstances may change, but character does not change. Circumstances may change, but the right thing does not change. Circumstances may change, and people may turn against you, and everybody else may do you wrong, but that does not justify you doing wrong to them. And the rule Jesus gave us that we call the golden rule is not do it to others because they did it to you. It's not do it to others before they do it to you. It's not do it to others or they'll do it to you. But it is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. They may not return your kindness. They may not be good to you because you've been good to them. But don't change who you are because of who they are. Amen. Be faithful to do the right thing. And now Joseph remained faithful because he claimed the promises of God. I mean, Joseph had been given a dream that God would promote him and honor him. And this dream had not materialized in any sense of the word. But with every demotion and with every demoralizing event and with every devastating attack on his life, Joseph just kept believing the promise of God. If I'd have been Joseph by the time I got in prison house, I'd have said when they told me about the dreams, I'd have told that butler and baker, I don't talk about dreams. I don't believe in dreams. I don't ever have no dreams at all. That's what I'd have told them. I wouldn't have talked about my dreams. That dreaming is what got him thrown in the pit. Dreaming is what started all this unfair treatment. His dreams of those sheaves that bowed down to his sheep, had the star and the moon and all of them that bowed down to him, had those dreams of what made his brothers upset and started this path towards his unfair treatment. I said, I don't know anything about dreams, but not Joseph. Joseph said, these dreams are from God. I have dreams, and the Lord gave me dreams, and I'm not giving up my dreams. I may have given up that coat of many colors. I may have given up that coat of stewardship down at Potiphar's house. I may have to wear a striped uniform in this prison house. I may look like a convict, but I'm telling you, God's given me a dream, and a prison coat can't take it away, and iron bars can't take it away, and blood walls can't take it away, and a ball and chain can't take it away, and every devil in hell can't take it away. If God's promised it, then it's so. I'll claim the promises of God. Oh, my friend, when life seems unfair, if you'll be faithful, you'll have to remember, faithful is he who hath promised. Oh, my friend, God will come through for you. Woo! Oh, Oh, bless his name. Exceeding great and precious promises are given unto us. My friend, he was not looking for man to be fair in the process. He was looking for God to be faithful in the promise. Amen. Joseph claimed the promises of God so he could be faithful. And Joseph could be faithful because he had the presence of God. He might have been thrown in the pit. And if you look at this verse, when he's in the pit, there ain't nobody in the pit with him. But it's just nobody you can see that's in the pit with him. And Joseph is not in the pit alone. Oh, thank God. And while Joseph is in the pit, and the Lord sending camels of grace across the desert. And God had a plan while Joseph was in the pit. And Joseph, it seems like, is taken from family and friends and everybody who ever loved him and cared about him. And he's sent off into a foreign land. He is the lowest man in the whole country. He's a foreigner and is a slave and is a convict. And yet God is with him at Potiphar's house. God is with him at the prison house. And while they had him in solitary confinement, and what they didn't know was they couldn't really confine him, and they surely couldn't make him solitary. Amen. The Lord was there with him. Matter of fact, when it was all said and done, he told his brothers, "You didn't do this, God did." By the way, he could have said the same thing to Potiphar. He could have said the same thing to Pharaoh. He could have said the same thing to the jailer. "You didn't do this, God did." I'm going to tell you something, folks that mistreat the child of God and think they have somehow or another have done something to us in our lives. What they don't understand is they don't have power over us. And they can't do anything. You remember Jesus, what he told Herod? He said, "Don't you understand, oh Pilate?" He said, "Don't you understand?" Pilate said to Jesus, "Don't you understand? I have the power to take your life. I have the power to give it back to you." Jesus said, "You'd have no power at all had it not been my Father in heaven that gave it to you." Amen. That's exactly right. "Oh, Mr. Devil, hast thou considered my servant Job?" You know, hey, I've considered him, Lord, but I can't get through that hedge, and it's too broad. And the Lord said, "All right, I'll draw it in, but I'll always keep a limit. Don't touch his body." The second round after he's taken all his goods, he said, "All but skin for skin. If you let me touch his body, he'll curse you to your face." God said, "You can touch his body, but you can't touch his life." And he attacked Job's body. But even then, the Lord had his hands about Job. And the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Y'all didn't do this, God did. The Lord's with me. I'm not by myself. I have somebody with me. Praise his dear name. And Joseph could be faithful when life was unfair because he had the presence of God with him. Hallelujah. Anybody know what I'm preaching about this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So-and-so done at the job. Stepped on me on the way up a corporate ladder. Well, just count yourself in the number with everybody else that that's happened to. Just be glad that while you're on the ladder, praise God, you got a faithful friend. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. By the way, I can tell you something else. If he chooses, he can shoot you from the bottom of that ladder to the top of it. All at one time. That's what he does in the life of Joseph. He tell, hey, we all think that we got to climb up, but all Joseph did was go down until God lifted him up. And that ought not to surprise us. Peter told us to us this way: "Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." He could be faithful because he had a presence with him every day. Hallelujah. Praise God for giving me in my life. Hallelujah. For giving me the life of Joseph. Oh, it is a well that springs up every day, seemingly with a new lesson and a new reminder of the goodness and the grace of God. How my heart has been helped how my journey has been encouraged, how my soul has been strengthened at time and again to come back and say, God is not a respecter of persons. If he would do it for Joseph, he'll do it for me. Be faithful when life seems unfair.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Joseph claimed the promises of God. That's how he could remain faithful. He had the presence of God. That's how he remained faithful. He stayed in the path of God. I mean, he didn't turn right. He didn't turn left. And Joseph didn't have to get down to Egypt and decide, all right, now that I'm in Egypt, will I worship golden calves? Now that I'm in Egypt, will I serve Nilus, the Nile River God? Will I serve Ra, the sun god? Will I serve the gods of this land, or will I serve the God of heaven? Oh no. My friend, Isaiah 30 and 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. And Joseph didn't have a family member. He didn't have a preacher or a Sunday school teacher there to keep him on track. But his walk with the Lord was consistent, and God kept him on track. He stayed faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And by the way, while you're sitting this morning in the church service and listening to the preaching, don't sit there and say, but you don't understand. Ain't nobody ever gone through what I'm going through. There hath no temptation taken you except that which is common to man.
Amen.
Amen. And my friend, with every temptation, he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Your escape may not just be getting out of it. It might be just giving you the capacity to bear it, to bear up under the load. We're not all just going to get to run away and hide. Sometimes you just got to grunt, get under the load, bear the load. Say, Lord, I don't ask you to move the mountain. Just give me strength to climb. And Joseph wasn't the first, nor was he the last. You are not the first, nor will you be the last. Amen. You're not the first person that's ever been treated unfairly. You're not the only person in this building that's ever been treated unfairly. Amen. As a matter of fact, probably you haven't been treated more unfairly than everybody else in here has. You might not know their story. You may think somebody else, now they've got it all together. Seems like everything that they touch, it just comes together. They've got a golden horseshoe in their pocket. Everything works out for them. Why don't it ever work out for me? It always works out for them. Hearing people's talk like that makes me want to vomit. I mean, it just really upsets me to hear people get all tore up and jealous and envious over other people. Why, it worked out for them and they got this or that happened with them. It looked like it could be like that for me. I mean, I look like I could do that. I tell you what we don't do. We don't ever look at somebody who's sick and dying. We don't ever look at somebody who's missing limbs, or maybe some little child born my friend with deformities or disabilities in their mind, and say, well, it looks like I could have been like that. Look like I could have been born without my right mind. Look like I could have been born like them. Look like I could have endured that tragedy. It's always when we perceive somebody to be ahead of us, how we say, looks like I could have been that way for me. I'm going to tell you, turn around this morning. Look back there and realize it could have been that way for you. Had God not been merciful, and Joseph could have been dead in a pit. And Joseph, my friend, could have been slain in Egypt. He could have been offered as a sacrifice to false gods. His brothers could have starved to death in a famine. But God knew what he was doing all along. I'm going to tell you, God knows better what to do with your life than what you know.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Joseph just stayed in the path of God. He knew that God knew best for his life. Be faithful. Amen. What to do when life seems unfair. Number two, be fruitful. Amen. Don't stop producing just because you're not at the Father's house anymore. Just because people hadn't treated you right. I'm going to quit teaching that Sunday school class now, preacher. You know, so-and-so, they don't much appreciate my teaching. I think I'm going to quit singing in the choir. Had nobody come around patted me on the back lately and told me what a great singer that I am and how wonderful of a job that I'm doing. And so I think I'm going to quit singing in the choir. Well, I don't even know if I'm going to go back to church anymore. That preacher didn't even shake my hand. Oh, my soul. I cleaned the church and I vacuumed the floor and I washed out the commode. Had nobody pinned an attaboy button on me. Oh, I think I'll go home and feel sorry for myself and suck my thumb and to tell everybody how hard I had it. It looked like somebody would have given me a trophy or bragged on me in some way for all the great things I've done. Ain't nobody appreciates me. Ain't nobody loves me. Ain't nobody ever seen the trouble I've seen. Ain't nobody knows my sorrows. How poor, pitiful me. It's pitiful the way we behave is what's pitiful. It's pitiful our attitude. It's pitiful how self-absorbed that we are. I mean, when it seems like, listen, I can tell you about some people that's been really mistreated. It was not that somebody failed to give them a sucker. They have been mistreated. I can tell you about experiences in my life where folks hadn't done me right. And most of y'all don't even know about those experiences. A few of you know about some of them. And there's a real few of you know about a good number of them. And they ain't nobody knows about all of them. And none of y'all hear me talk much about any of them. That's unproductive. You know what I do know? Regardless of how somebody's done me, treated me, hadn't treated me, how what good or bad things have happened, I serve a great, big, wonderful God. I'm not living for them anyway. I'm living for Him. If I was living for them when they mistreated me, that would have shut me down. But if I'm living for Him, and He ain't ever done me nothing but good, and then I've just got to keep producing. I keep serving, keep loving, keep going, keep trying to do something for God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God was God in the pit. God was God in Potiphar's house. God was God in the prison. God was God in the palace. And Joseph served God and was fruitful wherever he was. You may be uprooted from one place and planted in another, but bloom where you are planted. Hallelujah. God favored Joseph. He shows up in Potiphar's house and everything Joseph touched, God honored it. Amen. Gave him favor in the sight of men. He was fruitful. He grew in Potiphar's house. In chapter 39, verses 21, 23, he's fruitful in the prison house. Everything he touches in the prison, God honors that there. And the Lord is with him. When the trials of Joseph were done, and he reigned, my friend, as prime minister in Egypt, and famine struck the rest of the land, fruitfulness abounded in the house of Joseph. At Joseph 40, or Genesis 41, at verse number 50, the Bible says, in chapter 41 and in verse number 50, and unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, at which Aseneth, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On, bare unto him. And to Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. And verse 52, and the name of the second one called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Be faithful and be fruitful. His first son he calls Manasseh, which means forgetfulness. He that is forgotten. God made him forget all that was unfair. His second son he calls Ephraim, which means fruitful or increasing. Here's the lesson. You will never become fruitful until you forget all that was unfair. So long as you dwell on what was unfair, it will stunt your production. You'll never produce fruit and be fruitful until you first forget the unfair things that have happened in your life. Now, when you put the past in the past, and when you get past those things that were unfair, God will make you fruitful in the land of your affliction. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible said of Genesis, or said of Joseph in Genesis 49 and 22? Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Not only does Joseph plant it in Egypt, But he thrived in Egypt and he overflowed in Egypt. And everything that happened to him was not fair. And yet God, hallelujah, they put him in a pit in our text where there was no water. And yet God said about Joseph, he don't need water in his pit. He's got a well with him everywhere he goes. He's like a fruitful bough by a well. And they said there's no water in there. And Joseph springing forth fruit. Praise God. While the world seeks to thirst you to death, I bury you alive. Sell you off, accuse you falsely. God will promote you and help you and make you fruitful if you'll be faithful to Him. Hallelujah. Joseph was fruitful because he was abiding in the Lord. I mean, John 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and your Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not forth fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And Joseph made his abode in the Lord. And when he would abide in the Lord, God abide in him. And then he would bring forth fruit. For Jesus said, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, cast them in the fire, they're burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And when life is unfair, stay fruitful. Amen. He abode in the Lord, so he was fruitful. He was available to the Lord. If you don't want to, you won't. Isaiah, the Lord said, whom shall I send? Isaiah 6 and 8. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. We never find that Joseph asking, why me, Lord? He accepted God's will and he was available for God's use. I wonder, are you? Are you available for God to do something with your life? If you're going to survive the unfair times in life, make yourself available. It would be easy to say, now, Lord, every time that I've ever told you that I'd do anything for you, it seems like you've had people mistreat me, so I don't think I want to do anything else for you. But Joseph kept yielding himself to the use of God. It'd be easy for you to say, every time I try to do something for God, somebody's not treated me right or nice or has not appreciated. It'd be easy for the preacher to say, somebody talked ugly about me, didn't do me right, mistreated my family, shook their fists, grabbed me by the throat, tried to wrestle me in the bathroom and whip me, tried to withstand me to my face. It'd be easy to say, I've been run off, asked not to come back, I've been talked ugly about, told lies on, I'm just not going to do it anymore. My friend, by the way, it'd be easy for me to say those things. Thank God. But I say, hear my Lord and send me. Woo! Praise God. You know what else I say? I thank my God for having counted me faithful and putting me in the ministry. Praise God. Hallelujah. He does not have to use me. I'm thankful he does use me. Amen. Joseph was available to the Lord. Are you? Joseph was active for the Lord. That's how he produced fruit. You can't produce nothing when you ain't doing nothing. Amen. Oh, listen, there has never been a knot on a log that produced anything. There are growth places in the tree that produce, but knots don't produce. All they do is fester and destroy and they split, amen, and they cause division and destruction and death. And my friend, hey, they produce weakness. Hey, you want to have a good church base right there where you sit, but Brother John. Hey, you don't want a big old knot to be in the board that's right under where you're sitting. If it is, that's the weakest place in the board. I'm going to tell you, the knot on the log is the weakest place in our church. That one who won't do anything. Hey, you're always like a zombie, about half asleep. I appreciate what one preacher said here recently, and I don't know what you'll think about this, but you just have to figure it out. Hey, he said some of our churches need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said some of them could just flat out use some caffeine. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen some of both. God, help us to yield to the Lord's service this morning. To do something for the Lord. Are you active? At every stop, Joseph served the Lord. He's a worker. Joseph isn't lazy. Joseph, even in prison, didn't sit around and play dominoes and my friend, a five-card draw. And Joseph wasn't always in the weight room or at the basketball court. He even became a servant while he was in prison. The Lord puts no premium on laziness. Matter of fact, Brother Sammy Allen says laziness is a first cousin to sorrowness. Amen. Amen. And I'll say amen to that as well.
Yes, sir.
Joseph was active. Philippians 3:13. Paul said, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press. Are you pressing this morning? I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I tell you, this old ship of Zion, I'm not to be floating on a lazy river. We ought to be rowing the boat. We ought to be pressing towards the mark. We ought to set our sails in the wind and call for the Holy Ghost to blow. We ought to be found somewhere. I want to be found somewhere working for my Lord. I've found somewhere working. Found somewhere working. Found somewhere working for the Lord. Amen. Number three, and I'm done. I told you I was cutting the fat. I got enough to preach on this for 2 hours, and I got to cut the fat. Number three. Joseph, when life was unfair, he is faithful. Be faithful. Be fruitful. Number three, be forgiving.
Amen.
You will never do anything for God when folks are treating you badly if you don't learn how to forgive.
Amen.
See, we got a problem. Jesus said, if you'll not forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses.
Amen.
You know what our problem is, don't you, Brother Terry? We have trespasses. See, if we were sinless, that wouldn't be a problem for us. If we were perfect, the fact that us not forgiving others would cause God not to forgive us, it wouldn't matter because we wouldn't need forgiveness. But since we're so full of flaws, since we got so many knots in our wood, since our lives are so filled with so many failures and shortcomings and the shortfalls and the blights, amen, since we're in that kind of shape, we're desperately in need of forgiveness. And if we can't forgive others, God won't forgive us, and that is a problem for everybody in here this morning. So when somebody else has mistreated you, you cannot make progress with God until you've made peace with them. Woo! Somebody want to write that down with a pencil, Brother Mays Jackson said. When others have mistreated you, you cannot make progress with God until you've made peace with them.
Amen.
Now what do you do? They don't want to be your friend. Joseph's brethren were happy to never see him again. Matter of fact, when they do see him, they're scared to death of him. The worst thing they felt like that had ever happened to them was when they found Joseph down in Egypt. They hope they never saw him again. Joseph expected he probably would never see his brothers again. But all the while, even though he couldn't make it right with them personally, he had peace about it because he forgave them in his heart.
Amen.
Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis 45. The Bible said in Genesis 45 in verse number 1, then Joseph, what happens, his brothers come to get corn. He's the prime minister in Egypt. A lot of details I'm leaving out. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before them all that stood before him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? He didn't say, I am Joseph, and I'm so mad I'm going to kill every one of y'all. He said, I'm Joseph. How about my daddy? I still love him. How about my family back at home? How about that little brother? Is he still alive? Woo! Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. Oh, and Joseph said unto him, how doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him. They were speechless, for they were troubled in his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. He didn't say, come here, let me kill you. I'm going to wring your necks, cut your heads off, feed you to the birds. He said, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother. They hated him because he was their brother. But he said, even though I've been here all these years and you didn't want me to be your brother, I'm still your brother. You didn't love me like I'm your brother, I'm still your brother. You didn't treat me like a brother, I'm still your brother. And Joseph loved them. Somebody somewhere that has mistreated you, maybe even somebody in a church that hadn't done you right, and today if you saw them in public, you'd want to raise both fists and beat the fire out of them. And what you ought to have in your heart, a desire that says, come here, I'm your brother, you're my brother, I still love you. What if they have not forgiven you? So what? You forgive them. These boys had never quit being hard-hearted toward Joseph, but he was not hard-hearted towards them. Somebody in your family hadn't done you right. You squabbled over the shift robe or the armoire or some piece of furniture or maybe over a sofa, a piece of money in a bank, and you can't even eat a turkey and dressing together at a family get together at Thanksgiving because your heart's so hard. They may never forgive you, but you better forgive them.
Amen.
Amen. They'll never receive it. You do it anyway. This is the first occasion of forgiveness in the Bible. Forgiveness. It's the first human forgiveness. First occasion of human forgiveness in the Bible. It's in the first book of the Bible. And in chapter 49, it is reiterated how he forgave his brethren. The last chapter of Genesis, he forgives his brethren again. Joseph, he's a type of Christ. Hallelujah. And Joseph forgives them with godly forgiveness. He's a type of Christ. Are you listening to me? Ephesians 4 and 32. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what we are to do as Christians? We are to forgive the way Jesus forgives. And we're to forgive the way Joseph forgave. We're to forgive the way that in our flesh and in our natural man, we would not naturally forgive, but it's God that enables us to do it. Somebody that's done you so wrong that they really don't deserve forgiveness. By the way, anybody saved this morning because you deserved forgiveness? If you are, you're not. Are you listening to me? Hey, none of us deserve forgiveness. You can't be saved by grace and deserve it. It wasn't grace if you deserved it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know how we got forgiven? The Lord forgave us when we didn't deserve it. You know how we got forgiven? The Lord forgave us when we didn't even know about it yet. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He forgave us when we didn't even ask Him for it. When we came to the Lord asking for forgiveness, He didn't have to forgive us then. All He had to do is let us have faith in Him that is already done. Hallelujah. He's already forgiven us. Hallelujah. Forgiveness. Joseph forgave his brothers long before this encounter ever came around. Then he said, not only my Joseph, your brother, whom you so need, in verse number 5, he said, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. What about that? Joseph said, I want you to know, don't be too hard on yourself. You did the wrong thing, but I've forgiven you all that's in the past. Now move on. Is anybody listening? Do you know what that's like to have the king, he's king by this point, to have the king tell you, yes, you did wrong, but I have forgiven you. Now don't be so hard on yourself. Move on. We got a life to live. We got a family to raise. We got corn to bring in. There's service to do. Oh, would you hear me this morning? Not only did Joseph forgive them, but he gave them permission to, if you wouldn't have known him like this term, to forgive themselves and move on. To forget about the past. To not be so hard on what they've done. To not live every day in regret. To realize that the one they had wronged had forgiven them, and to move forward into a productive life as well. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. When you realize your sins are forgiven and you put them in the past, you can then serve the Lord and be productive in your walk with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm stopping. I got to preach too long. I'm copying Brother Thomas this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He forgave all of his foes their doings. Not one time do you find Joseph getting mad at Potiphar and mistreating Potiphar. Matter of fact, Joseph married a woman whose name was Potiphar, whose father's name was Potiphar. Don't think it's the same Potiphar. It's not spelled the same. But I don't know how you think, what you think about it. Somebody treated me the way Potiphar treated Joseph. And the girl, I go on my first date with her. And we're looking moon-eyed at one another over a bowl of spaghetti. And I asked her tell me about her family. And she says, my daddy's name's Potiphar. I said, well, I'm marking her off a list. We'll call another one. There's plenty of fish in the sea. I'm not marrying some woman whose daddy's got the same name as that joker that mistreated me like that. But he did. Forgiving spirit about him. He forgave his foes' doings. How often? 70 times 7. Joseph forgave his family's deeds. He said, go get your daddy. Bring him down here. He said, matter of fact, I'm going to load you up with wagons. I'm going to load you up with benefits. I'm going to give you all the good of the land of Egypt. And he said, y'all don't bring nothing back with you. Don't worry about it. Everything that's here that's mine's yours. And it belongs to you. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. He was not bitter against his family. He still wanted them near him. He forgave his father's dealings. And I don't mean his earthly father. He said, God, you didn't do this to me. God did it. Now, y'all think about that a minute. If you'd gone through that prison and all Joseph had gone through, and ain't no telling how many times he'd been beaten and mistreated. If you thought God did that to you, how easy would it be to get mad at God? I'm angry at God because of this or that. It's not productive. Joseph says God did it. But God did it because he loves you. And I had to suffer so you could be blessed. And I've come to grips with that. And I'm so glad things turned out just like they did. And I'm glad that I was able to be the one that God would use to help somebody else. And I might have had to go through some hard times, but I say it's been worth every mile. And it's been worth every trial to follow in the footsteps of the Lord. And I don't regret a mile that I traveled for the Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 6, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That word offended means a stumbling block. Who will look at me and not stumble and fall and get angry at me. I'm finished preaching. Come on, the song. I'm done. We're going to give a verse of invitation this morning. Life is not always fair. Nobody's life is always fair. It's not just yours. Nobody's life is always fair. A fair is a place where you eat cotton candy and play games, and it comes to town once or twice a year. So also is fair times in life. It's rare. And it's a fantasy because it won't last very long. Unfairness is the norm, not fairness. Though life is not fair, but when it is unfair, we can react right in our lives and the lives of others can be better for it. I want to tell you today that begins with you giving your life to the Lord. And then for every child of God today, it will continue or it will restart when you commit your way to God, forgive others, forget the past, and become fruitful. Move on. Somebody today is probably in this congregation that is smothered with bitterness. Burdens. My heart breaks when I watch people and I watch life and the circumstances of life just choke the life out of them. And many times I'm hamstrung and I can't do a thing on earth about it. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord can help you this morning. And I've tried to preach my heart to you and help you. If you need help from the Lord, I'd beg you to come and pray. Let's ask God together to strengthen you. Everybody stand. Preach what God laid on my heart. I know it's a little bit later, even for us, it's a little later than usual. We got a little later start, we're getting a little later finished, we changed the clock today, we just all kind of out of sort. There's no need in you leaving today still out of sort. You can get some help from the Lord, would you come? Let the Lord help you in your life. Cast your burdens on the Lord.
Lord, here I am again,
down on my knees
in prayer. And Lord, you promised me that you'd always meet me there. Now there's a mountain
up ahead. Maybe you're thriving this morning. If you are, pray for those that are struggling because your name will come as well.
To climb, but I'm praying for to try it one more time.
Oh Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me strength to climb.
Just give me strength to climb. For if you should move each mountain, I might grow weaker every time. And just as your Son Jesus took the cross of Calvary's hill, Lord, don't move that mountain so I may better do your will.
Would you obey the Lord?
Now if I had no mountain,
Lord, I might forget
to pray. And if I had no trials, well, I might even stray.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
But I know higher the mountain,
the
sweeter the victory.
How many can beat yourself up?
Lord, ever remind me, you will walk beside of me.
Servant of God,
don't move that mountain.
Just
give me strength
to climb.
For if you should move each mountain, I might grow weaker every time. And just as your Son Jesus took the cross of Calvary's hill, Lord, don't move that mountain.